What legacy will you leave behind? Sooner or later, you and I will be gone. You have a legacy. Good or bad, whatever it is, you will leave something behind. Life is short. And I want to pass on a legacy of Christ-centeredness. Our topic today is what? Engage the family. What does it mean, engage the family? To engage the family, it means what? Have you heard the word ephod? Ephod means every family, a discipleship group. I've seen teenagers disciple their parents. I've seen children impact their parents and vice versa. Believe it or not, you have the greatest influence in your family. Believe it or not, you have influence. It may not be the greatest, but you have influence. All of us are part of a family. I'm not just talking to physical family. I'm talking about you have a spiritual family. I'm talking about you have a family in your office, in your workplace. My whole point is simply this. To engage the family, it is the stewardship of relationship and influence. And discipleship begins where you are. That means discipleship begins at home. Because at home is where the rubber meets the road. A true Christian, the spirituality of anybody is revealed, is exposed at home. Spirituality is developed at home. You live with people every day and you need to learn how to be Christ-like. I'm going to give you principles from the Bible. Why is it important? Why is the family important? The answer is very simple. When the family begins to fall apart, when the family declines, civilization declines. No exception. And that's why you see Satan is attacking families. It's pandemic to the epidemic. 25% of children are now growing up in single parent home. Single mom, single dad. Very sad. Imagine 25%. The Philippines is not far off from that. Divorce, I don't need to discuss it. Broken families. The reason why the divorce rate is not reaching higher percentage than 50% is because many couples have decided we will not get married anymore. We will just live in. What I'm trying to say is this. Satan is attacking the family, and this is no exception, even Christian families. Even the families of pastors are being attacked. So you can see why this topic is crucial. Engage the family, because discipleship begins where? At home. How do I impact the family? Why is that important? Let me first introduce to you a family in the book of 1 Samuel. His name is Eli. He's a priest. The sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests. So this guy was a priest. His children were priests. What enters your mind? Priests. Are they good people? Should be, right? One chapter later, look. The sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord. How in the world can that happen? I realize a father can pass on a career. You can pass on an occupation. You can pass on religion. But you don't pass on Jesus Christ. See, the children did not know God. How can you be a priest and not know God? Religion. Look at the next verse. In that day, I'll carry out against Eli all that I've spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. I have told him I am about to judge his house. God made Eli the father responsible, accountable for the iniquity which he knew because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Is it possible, parents, you are so busy with your work that you don't know what's going on in the lives of your children? Is it possible you are the last to know what's happening to your children? You have to disciple your family because you have relationship and you have influence. Young people never think you don't have influence. I've seen young people, because their lives were so transformed, the parents were shocked. And the parents says, what's happening to you? And they begin to attend Bible study also. So, how do you impact your family? The best verse I can give you, the best verses, is Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's read together, and I'll share with you principles. How to impact your loved ones. Are you ready? But first, let's look at the Bible. Together, let's read. These are the commands, decrees, the laws of the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land you are crossing. This is now the final journey. They are going to enter the promised land. And God told Moses, you need to prepare the people, not just to enter the promised land. You have done that. But how do they live in the promised land? The land of milk and honey is one thing. But how do you enjoy the land of milk and honey? It has to do with what? Teach them the commands. Read the next verse. So that you, your children, and their children. Notice, it has to do with generational discipleship. Families. After them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all his decrees, commandments that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Wow! God's heart is for people to enjoy long life, not just long life. Read the next verse. Hear, O Israel, be careful to obey so that, everybody read, so that, what? It may go well with you. Do you now see the heart of God? He wants you not just to enjoy long life, that it may go well with you. You see, most people don't understand the heart of God because they don't know the heart of God. They do not know the purpose of God when he tells us to obey. It is not to kill your happiness. It is not to control you, to restrict you. It is to guard you, to help you, to put boundaries so that you will not mess up, so that you will enjoy long life and you will enjoy what God meant your life to be. It is for your good. Most young people don't like commandments. They don't like rules because they never understood the purpose of God's rules. The purpose of God's rules, very simple. For me, my protection. To maximize what he wants me to accomplish. It's for your good. So, how do you do that? Let's read the next verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. Everybody read. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. God is talking about the heart. What kind of heart? Love God with what? All. How many times the word all appeared? How many times? Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. Many times we fail God. We don't love him 100%. And you and I think it's okay not to love God 100%. It is not okay. Because God loves you 100%. But you don't love him 100%. You see, the nature of love is if you love God 100%, you learn to love others even more. Love is never diminished. But you got to love God. How many percent? 100%. Well, this is what is discipleship all about. It has to do with the heart. You got to teach your disciples, your children, to love God. If you love God, you'll obey Him. If you love one another, you won't cheat. You won't gossip. You won't backbite. Provided you love. So how do you teach that? Let's read together. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. This verse tells you the secret of discipleship. Number one, you got to model. Teach them diligently. You have to model. Notice, when you sit, when you talk, when you rise up, when you walk, when you lie down, it has to do with what? Modeling. It has to do with relationship. You have to spend time together, relationship. It has to do with intentionality. So three important words I want you to learn today. To impact anybody, follow the MRI principle. What is MRI? Today, medically speaking, it's called magnetic resonance imaging, right? To see inside. You want to impact the inside of your children, of your parents, the heart, use MRI. What is MRI? Number one, you model. Number two, you build relationship. Number three, you have to be intentional. Let's go to the first principle. What does it mean? Model. Children copy us positively or negatively. They copy you. Your disciples are copying you. Your office mates are copying you. Whether you like it or you don't, they copy you. The Bible is very clear, the principle of discipleship. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. That's it. Be a model. The power of modeling is so crucial. To give you the example of this principle, I've asked Edric, Joy, and his son to share with us the principle of modeling.
So we're going to be sharing from our hearts how modeling has worked. We're going to start with Joy, Eden, and then myself. Go ahead, honey.
Growing up, by God's grace, my parents were great models. They were godly. They loved the Lord. They loved us. But I really wanted to emphasize this aspect of their modeling, and it was modeling Christ-likeness through humility. And one of the most recent examples I can think of was recently when I was really, really deeply hurt about something that my dad did. And at first I didn't know how to approach him about it, how to talk to him about it, because he's never really done something that's deeply hurt me, but this one thing really, really hurt me and disappointed me. And so when we had the occasion to talk, I shared with him, you know, from my heart. And it was the first time I really broke down into tears. And I said, you know, Dad, you know, you're my spiritual role model and hero. So when you did that, it really, really wounded me. And, you know, I saw him. My dad was also tearing. And he was very humble. He did not try to defend himself. He did not make excuses. He just said, you know, sweetheart, will you forgive me? Because I am a flawed person, and I'm so sorry. And then he hugged me, and it was very restorative. And I share that because I think a lot of times when we're thinking about modeling, it's such a high standard, right? Christ-likeness, and it can be so discouraging. But when we model humility in our relationships by listening to one another, by acknowledging areas where we need to improve or change and seeking to understand each other, it really causes healing to happen. And so by God's grace, my dad and I would say, are much closer today because he's modeled that in our relationship with one another. So praise God. And now Eden's going to share what he has also learned.
Good afternoon, everyone. So as my mother shared, every story has its conflict. And earlier in our family's years, my dad was very dictator-like. And I call this period the dark ages of our family's history. I felt this way because when I thought of my future, I wanted to be a better father than my dad by not copying all the mistakes he had made with our family. I only looked at his problems. Looking back, however, I was very irrational at this stage, but I was still hurt by my father. What hurt me was when I watched him speak about things which I you know, I saw him speak. He would speak a lot with my mom, with our family. But a lot of these things, I didn't see him apply in our family and in his own life. And so this deeply hurt me. And as my mom shared earlier, authenticity is very important, but willingness to change doesn't matter if change doesn't actually happen. It is important to admit your mistakes, but more importantly, you need to improve afterwards. Otherwise, this is just hypocrisy. And so it says in 1 John 3, verse 18, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. Our generation seeks to know truth, but when truth is not applied at home, it is searched for elsewhere. There is a longing in our hearts for true, holy love. The verse from 1 John emphasizes the need for truth in our actions, that God's love may be experienced by others when we model it. In all our relationships, can we really say, as my Aung Kang also shared, copy me or imitate me as I copy Christ, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians? Do we truly apply the word of God in all of our relationships? As children, it is so important for us to see our parents do this. Most often, the only Bible we may read or understand is the lives of our own parents. I praise God that they were willing to change, and they really changed. My father improved. The love of God was made real in my life because it was lived consistently by my parents. God opened my eyes to see how blessed I've been by my dad and even my mom. There were many godly characteristics in my dad. And so now today, I can say by God's grace, the biggest role model of what it means to be a man next to Jesus is my dad. Love you.
Thank you, son. So I want to close our family sharing very briefly by saying the truth is copying Christ is really hard. And what I've learned even through this journey that Aiden shared is our goal should not necessarily be perfection, although we want to get that way, but there must be progress. And by God's grace, how do we experience progress? For me, the way I did that was first I needed to realize how utterly dependent I am on Jesus. If we're gonna copy Christ as our model, we need to make sure we get to know that model so well. So I tried my best to do that, even as I would mess up in my dark ages, as Eden talked about. So focus on progress, focus on Jesus, focus on Him as the model. I never fully appreciated the words, "Thy word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet," until I realized I need to know Jesus more. I need to know Him daily. I am so desperately dependent on His words to guide me, to take me forward, because without that, I'm a mess. I also realized that we cannot journey alone. As a father and as a man, and many of us, we can be models in any of our spaces, as students, to your classmates, to your workmates, even in family as we're sharing here. But what I learned is I cannot journey alone. And this is why we have this beautiful discipleship structure. I have men that are discipling into my life. My sons, as I disciple them, I also started opening up to them so they would hold me accountable, so they could tell me how I could improve. That helped me. And then other men around me, and even the men that I disciple, that whole ecosystem, family, really helped me as I journeyed to remind myself that, hey, I cannot journey alone. If I'm going to become like Christ, I cannot journey alone. I want to close with this. It can be very overwhelming. You know, I'm in a season where people that know me well, it's a very complex time, but I remind myself of this one last thing. Success is not necessarily the end goal. It is getting done today what I know I need to get done today. So I take it a day at a time. Today, I want to be a Christ-like model, and that's my encouragement for you. Take it a day at a time. Be a Christ-like model today. God bless you guys.
Remember, modeling is not perfection. Modeling is about authenticity. When you make a mistake, humble yourselves. Modeling is admitting when you make mistakes, and all of us will make mistakes. Modeling requires you be present with your family, you be intentional, and you have to give them time. So, this is the principle that I'd like you all to have in modeling. It's a sobering truth. You must be what you want your children or your disciple to become, because they will become what you are. And I praise God for my wife. My wife is one of the best models when it comes to respect and submission to authority. And you will notice all my children. they respect authorities. Honey, thank you for modeling. And thank you for a forgiving heart. My wife forgives me every day. Praise God. Now, relationship. What is the principle of relationship? The closer the relationship, the greater the influence. Who invented this idea? Jesus. Look at Mark 3:14. Everybody read. He appointed 12. For what purpose? So that they could be with him. You need to build relationship. No time together, no relationship. For what purpose? So that he could send them out. That's why the Bible warns you, warns me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Everybody read this. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So my question to you is this. Who are the best friends of your children? Who are they spending time with? Do you have good relationship with them? Because if you don't have good relationship with them, you are not going to influence them. Notice the principle of relationship. Let's read together. Number one, to build relationship, the power, everybody read, the power of influence is proportionate to the closeness of the relationship. The closer you are, the greater the influence. The closer the children are to their parents, the less they're influenced by their peers. I guarantee you, your classmates, your friends, they will want to influence you. But if you are close to parents, they will have the greatest influence. Vice versa, the more peer-oriented the children are, in other words, their life, they are so close to their friends, to their peers, the less they will be influenced by their parents. So simple. You want to disciple people? That's why we meet regularly, at least once a week. Without meeting, how will you influence your disciples? Now, to give these illustrations, I've asked my son, Paul, and his daughter, Alana, to come.
It's so true. The importance of having close relationship makes all the difference when you're trying to influence your family member or the people in your life. And I want to just take this time to thank my mother. You know, growing up, I went to a Chinese school, and then for 3 years, my mom pulled us out of school, and she homeschooled us. And that is a lot of time with us as siblings. And those were some of my best memories of school growing up, when my mom homeschooled us. So thank you, Mom, for pouring into our life and for building relationship. You truly have impacted our lives. And my father, though he was a very busy man, this is something very simple that we can all do. He had started a real estate company and started the church at the same time. He would come home for dinner. And so my mom would make us wait for my father so we could have family dinners. And that's one way that our family developed close relationship. You know, when you have close relationship, you're willing to share vulnerable things that are going on in your life. I remember when I was struggling and wrestling with pornography, I could actually go to my parents because I had a close relationship with them and share with them because I knew in their heart, like my dad shared with us earlier, that he truly, and my mom and my dad truly love me and truly want what's best for me. And the same thing with God. God really loves me, loves you, and he wants what's best for you. So why wouldn't I be willing to share if I'm struggling with something? But if there was no relationship, I would not share that with my father. So I want to thank you, Dad and Mom, for building close relationship with us through the family dinners. And then when we could, we would take a vacation, just our family. And then once a week, we would do devotions. And my dad actually used those devotion nights not just to build relationships, but to help teach us children how to teach the Bible through one verse. So thank you, Dad and Mom. And my daughter, Alana, she will share with you also how we have tried to do that in our family.
Hello, everyone. Growing up, my parents were intentional in spending time with me. My dad would play with me and read me stories. But for some reason, me and my mom clashed when I was younger, and I used to argue with her a lot. So my dad decided that it would be best for me and my mom to go on a trip together, just the two of us. And during this time, I was really able to spend quality time with my mom, and we grew closer. Now I can freely say that me and my mom are close and our relationship is strong. This doesn't mean it's a perfect relationship, but if we make mistakes, we both try to ask for forgiveness right away. She is now the woman that I look up to. As a family, we try to have family dinner together where we can just talk about our day and just in life, about life in general. And we made it a rule to have no phones at the dinner table so we don't get distracted and can have meaningful conversations as a family. The relationship my parents built with me did not stop when I was young. They continue to be intentional and spending time with me today. My dad sometimes brings me to my early morning volleyball practices, and me and my mom go shopping together sometimes. These are a few things my parents have done that have helped our relationship stay strong. Please keep praying for our family as we are all a work in progress. Thank you.
Thank you, Alana. You heard from Alana, and if you see her family photo, there's actually three other siblings, and Caleb was with us this morning, but this guy, Andrew, he's the youngest. He's 10 years old. And about 3 weeks ago, Jenny and I were going to a family retreat. And before we left, my son came up to me and he just broke down. He said, "Dad, I don't feel like I can talk to you." I said, "Why not?" He said, "You're so busy." He said, "Do you remember the time that I wanted to show you a song that I wrote? And you said that you would come to the piano and hear me play it?" He said, "Dad, you never came." And he was just in tears. And I was deeply impacted by that. And I share that with you because we're all works in progress. And when I heard that, I praise God that my son, because we do have a relationship, he could share that with me and I could pivot my life and make adjustments so that I could actually spend more time with him. And that's the beauty of what we have here. You know, all of us are work in progress. And I praise God that a long time ago, Jesus Christ intercepted my dad. Because if it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't have this family. Through my dad and my mom, they're raising a family that genuinely loves the Lord, and it's all by his grace. And I want to give you that vision too for your life and for your family, that through Jesus Christ and your intentionality, your family can also have a Christ-centered relationship. So keep praying for us, and I praise God for this principle of building relationship. Back to my dad.
The reality is time flies. I do remember when they were young. You have only one shot, opportunity with your children. They grow up very fast. Now, my grandchildren are even taller than me. But friends, you need to make time to develop relationship. Number three, intentionality. What do we mean by intentionality? Let's read this together. Good results seldom happen by chance. They are a byproduct of intentionality. That means you need to plan. You need to be purposeful. You need to be deliberate. Most parents, most of us, are not intentional. You don't live life purposefully. It is haphazardly, accidentally, incidentally, randomly. You can't do that. Life is too short to waste. It's precious. So be intentional in whatever you do. My friend, intentional. That's the heart. And I've asked my son and his daughter to come and give us an example of what does it mean to be intentional. Let's welcome Peter and Tegan.
Many of you know that growing up, I struggled with self-discipline, pleasure, and as a result, made many mistakes in my personal life, as a father, as a husband, in work, you name it, I made the mistake. But I will never look at my mom and dad and say, "Why didn't you teach me?" They always did. It's just that I sometimes didn't listen. And today, as I become older, I stand before you an example of God's grace. Through parents who never stopped being intentional, in teaching and training us in love. I can say so much, but the two things I just want to highlight is one, they would teach us and train us in all areas of life. So I remember when I was younger, I was quite unhealthy. I would get sick a lot. I was overweight, and my parents would force me to exercise. And I didn't like to exercise, so they would take me walking with them. They would make sama. And we would go running around the subdivision. And today, I love exercise. In fact, I take my children. I ask them, you want to run with me today? And Trayson and Taylan over there, I ask them if they want to swim or bike with me. So I try to do it as well. In work, being responsible. You know, when we were young, we had chores. We had to wash dishes. We learned to make our beds. And I try to help our children do it too. I ask them, have you cleaned the table? A lot of work needed. And he would take us to the office. And then, most importantly though, they would teach us about God and who we are in Him. And I try to do this with our children, and she'll share in a bit. But till today, you know, even in the dark times, when we forget who we are, God uses what they taught me to remind me, I'm here, I'm your father, I love you, come back. Secondly, it never ends. Up to now, our parents, they still lovingly, intentionally teach and train us. I remember in this season of my life, it's very busy. My wife, who's over there, God bless her heart, she's pregnant at 44, I'm 49, and we have the 23rd grandchild on the way. And because she's pregnant, I have so much going on. You know, the other day we had a family dinner and my dad said, son, you want to walk home with me? I was like, oh, dad wants to walk. And then sure enough, as we were walking, he said, you know, I noticed your schedule is so busy. Don't you think your wife would like you around when the baby's born? Now, he didn't, of course, I'm going to be there. But his point was, wouldn't it be nice to give her more time? And I agreed with him. You know, at first I felt a little irritated. I'm a little proud. Dad, I got my schedule covered. But then I remembered, right? Be humble, listen. And then my mom, God loves us so much through my mom. She knows we're busy, so I saw her one day just in our house. And what she was doing, she was spending time with my little children, just teaching them, drawing with them, anything, helping us parent. So up to today, they are so intentional. And I would like to introduce my daughter, Tegan, to share her story on intentionality.
Good morning, my name is Tegan, I'm 14 years old. Today I'd like to share how my dad is intentional with me. One of the ways he's been intentional with me is when we go walking and spend time together. When we go walking, he usually tries to focus on one thing, and that one thing is that he desires for me to fall in love with Jesus on my own and to live to please him. My dad says that if I love Jesus, everything will fall into place. And the key to falling in love with Jesus is Jesus himself and spending time with him. Thank you. That's all.
It's never too late to become better. It's never too late to change. As we close, I'd like you to ask yourself, what legacy will you leave behind? Sooner or later, you and I will be gone. You have a legacy. Good or bad, whatever it is, you will leave something behind. Question. I want you to think about it now. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, how do you see your life? How do you see your family? Think about it. May I suggest, live a purposeful life. Engage loved ones. Engage the family. What are the principles today you have learned? Number one, model. Say that with me. Model. To impact lives, you model. You practice what you preach. Not perfection, authenticity. Number two, relationship. You want to impact people? Spend time with them. Build relationship. You cannot disciple people without spending time with them. And that's why we have D groups. Relationship. And number three, intentionality. You have to be intentional. Don't play games. Life is short. And I want to pass on a legacy of Christ-centeredness. I want all my children to know Christ and to love Him and to proclaim Him. Because that has eternal values. Leaving house and lot, leaving businesses, that's secondary. What is important is a legacy that will last for eternity. Let's bow our heads and pray. If God has spoken to you, and you are humble enough to admit, how can I pass on something I don't have? If you don't even have Jesus, if you don't love Jesus, how can you pass that? And I want to pray for you. If you are willing to humble yourselves, you want me to pray for you, raise your hands. You need to know Jesus, and you need to love Jesus. Pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I humble myself before you. I really don't love you. I don't know how to love you. But today I realize you do love me. I want to love you. So Jesus, change my heart. Draw me to you. I humble myself. I am desperate for you, Jesus. And be the center of my life so that it can be the center of my family. And it will be the center where I work, your presence. Lord Jesus, I now pray for everybody here that you make yourself real in our midst, that we live a life that will glorify your name. Our motive is always pure, to glorify you and not to exalt ourselves. Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.